Welcome to Speak in Flow, the podcast that helps leaders like you unlock the power of your voice, achieve maximum potential and flow through exceptional communication. I'm your host, Melinda Lee, and I am passionate about helping company leaders and their teams master public speaking, pitching with impact, and stepping into their full leadership potential. Thanks for tuning in to the Speak in Flow podcast, which is the top 10% of podcasts worldwide. When you stick around until the end, I have an exclusive gift just for listeners only, something that will immediately help you and your team up-level your communication. Let's dive in. Welcome, dear listeners, to the Speak in Flow podcast, where we dive into unique strategies to help you and your team achieve maximum potential and flow, even when the stakes are high and the pressure is on. And I have the best person to help guide us through this. His name is Kevin Odin. He's the CEO of Kevin D. Odin and Associates. He's an advisory board member for Theon Technology. And he's also been the head of operational risk and compliance for Wells Fargo. Welcome, Kevin.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for being here. We're going to dive into such a rich conversation around who to be careful for, what kind of people to look for, and how do we protect ourselves when we deal with just, there's so many different people, so many types of people out there. So we just kind of want to dive into that conversation today. And before we get into that, can you share, you lead such high profile risk projects for clients. And so what makes you excited today?
So, look, I get excited every day. I'm working on, a project, or most days it's multiple projects. Today we're, gearing up for a new engagement with a new client who's been working through some regulatory issues. Regulatory issues are certainly something that almost every financial institution is familiar with to some degree or another. This one has been working through some regulatory issues for nearly a year now. So we're going to come in and we're going to try to help them solve their problems. We're not going to try. We're going to help them solve their problems.
Yes. Yes. And so with the new administration, has the regulatory issues been even more tightened? Has it been?
So that's a great question. It's really the jury's out right now on that. Certainly, the CFPB has loosened constraints or loosened regulatory oversight in many respects. It's unclear what's happening with the Federal Reserve Board, the OCC, et cetera. For now, it appears that it's, other than the CFPB, it's regulation as usual. So if you have an outstanding issue with one of the regulators, you better resolve it. So where that goes in the next three and a half years still remains to be seen.
Yeah. Yeah. So any financial institution who is concerned or unsure of how to deal with these policies, compliance, you are a consultant to them. What are some of the things that they look for or to be wary of when they're looking for a risk consultant?
So I just mentioned a firm that we're about to engage, and without mentioning the name of the firm or the name of the organization that they brought in, but they brought in a big name organization to help them resolve their regulatory issues. And literally, after the regulators came back in to see where they were at the supposed halfway mark, they basically said, this is garbage. So we're going to come in and we're going to, get them on the right path to resolving their regulatory issues. But to the heart of your question, a lot of these big name organizations, and even some of the smaller ones, They send their big named person in day one, and that person sort of goes away and or makes appearances infrequently. But the people that are doing the work are generally junior individuals. Maybe they're at a 2 years out of school. Even if it's an MBA, if you haven't worked through regulatory issues in the past, if you're not very familiar with the banking environment, it's going to be difficult for you to understand how to put together a roadmap for resolving a lot of these issues. It's this, and we don't do that. The people on our team, in some cases, have decades worth of experience, but most of them have 10 years worth of real experience. So they've had to carry those regulatory burdens on their back physically and get them lifted off. So that's the difference between, even though we're a small institution, a small bank, I'm sorry, a small risk consulting firm, we just have that experience. It's a part of our DNA.
I mean, that's invaluable, right? Because they're getting theirs. If they're a smaller financial institution or medium-sized financial institution, they are getting the depth and breadth of your experiences, your team's experiences and knowledge, having, like you said, carried the burden of these regulations on their backs and
Exactly
overcome
that, and
them.
that's exactly right. Especially when you're talking about smaller institutions, there you may have, a CRO, or a CFO or a CEO who has experience with that institution, but actually hasn't seen the broad breadth of, regulatory oversight, because their institute, sometimes they've grown up with their institution. They've seen it go from a $700, $800 million asset to, $1 billion to $2 billion to $3 billion, but they haven't. And that regulatory oversight increases with the size of your assets under management, as well as with the growing complexity of your firm. And so if you haven't been there before, you haven't done it before, you'd like to bring in somebody and have the advice of somebody who has done it before.
I mean, and this brings me to just a deeper level question. So it sounds like you say these large institutions are coming in, they have the big name, consulting firms have this big name, and they're maybe perceived as the best, but then they bring in and they're bringing in lower level or not inexperienced, not as experienced people actually do the job. So in at a smaller scale, can you think about a time when you actually met somebody who's coming in and they may be perceived as, I know it all, or they portray themselves as I know it all, and then actually when you dig a little deeper, they don't. They may blow up, they have bad behavior. How can you spot them early on? I mean, you probably met a lot of people now.
Oh,
And so
I've lived through that experience myself, unfortunately, where, again, we hired an unnamed firm to help us years ago, and this is, nearly a decade ago, if not more now. But I've lived through that experience where basically, they start to give advice, they start to give documents, etc., and you start to read you read through them. And you get a sense that, well, one, I wouldn't do this. Second, it flies in the face of what we know is regulatory oversight, because there's a body of, so you can spot them pretty quickly
Yeah, where are the signs? What are the signs?
if you have experience.
Got it. That would have, yeah, that's interesting. Right. Yeah. Well, what if someone
But if
does
you don't
that?
spot them, if you don't have experience, you're going to have a difficult time spotting them. And, because you're, like I said, for smaller institutions, they're relying on these individuals to more or less educate them. Right? So,
So maybe have someone else with you
yeah. I
who
mean,
does
and
know.
so it's, like I said, if you have If you have experience, or if you have people on your team that have deep experience, then those people, you can spot these individuals. It's when you don't have, and especially at these smaller institutions where in some cases, in particular businesses, you may be a one person shop. You may have to run a whole division by yourself, more or less. And it becomes very difficult to maintain that level of expertise in-house, because as soon as people in some cases get that expertise, they look to go to a bigger firm where they can get more money.
And so, I mean, let's talk about your team and how your team can kind of support them.
Yeah, so my team, I've been very fortunate with assembling my team. So just about everyone on my team I've worked with for a decade or more. So I've been able to gather them from my past employers, as well as along the way, working with them in various other positions. So when you think about the people on my team, I have one individual. So this is emblematic of just about everyone on the team, but just to pick on one particular individual, he's worked at the Federal Reserve Board. He's worked at Fannie Mae, PhD in economics. He's worked at Wells Fargo. He's worked. He was a private consultant for a while. He was the CRO of a small firm. I've known him for nearly 20 years and worked with him prior to this for 7 or 8 years directly. So, when you have people like that, they can walk the walk, they've seen how to work through issues. They've seen how to work through, work with various regulators, whether it be the Federal Reserve Board, the FDIC, the OCC. And in most of our team's case, not everyone, but most of our team's case, they've also worked with overseas regulators, whether it be OSFI in, Canada, or, the EBA in Europe as well. So lots of familiarity with, regulatory context, as well. And not just regulatory context from reading, but from actually having to live and breathe it every day.
And what are the difficult conversations that you need to have when it comes to regulation?
Well, there are really the most difficult conversations I have are with clients that are skirting, or let's say skating on the boundary, or just below the boundary of sort of regulatory requirements. As a financial institution, should you be well above that regulatory boundary? Absolutely not. It'd be crazy, because your goal is to return, profits to investors, and protect your clients in the most efficient way as possible. So I'm never going to advocate for anyone to go far and above the
Of course.
regulatory requirements. But my toughest conversations are when I walk in and I see people sort of just below that boundary. And I have to tell them, look, I can't tell you to move above. I can't tell you have to change this, fix that, do this, but I would recommend it, because I've seen what happens to some financial institutions, not all, that are in your position, that are missing this piece of the regulatory guidance, that are missing that function that's required. And sometimes these institutions get fined, they get put in the penalty box, but some others don't, because it really depends. I always tell clients that regulations are universal, but examinations are always local, because an examiner needs to come in and apply those regulations, and they all apply them a little bit differently.
Right.
So you may be fine. You may
Right.
be absolutely fine, but I need to tell you what I see
Right.
relative to, the written rule. So
Right.
those
How
are
do
the
you
toughest conversations.
How do you prepare for it?
Oh, it's simple. I fret and moan and then I get my gumption up, and it's you never really get used to it. It's but you have to. You have to be honest. It's a matter of being honest with your clients. It would be easy for me to say, everything's fine, but then that would damage our reputation, my reputation, if and when the regulators came in and or internal audit even said, look, this is not right, this is not working. So I've got to be honest. And sometimes, to be perfectly candid, if I'm handing over a written document to them outlining that I've this goes to the second part of the toughest piece of the conversation. Sometimes they'll say, please don't put this in here, this recommendation in there. And I will tell them, I have to. Now, again, you can choose to not do it, but I have to put it in the document because if someone comes in and sees our work, they're going to, they're going to judge it based on, on the written regulations. And they're going to say, this guy's firm, it's horrible. They missed some obvious things.
Do and then do they comply? Do are
Oh,
these
they have to.
they
Yeah.
have
I
to,
said, this is the document. I'm going to keep a copy of it. So,
Wow, that is tough. That is
but it's,
tough.
look, that doesn't happen frequently. It does happen probably once a year. If sometimes twice, but that's sort of a one time a year thing.
Well, I know. I mean, it sounds like your approach that just to be honest, and just have those conversations, it
You
goes
have to
a
have
long
the
way.
tough conversation.
To have the tough conversations, even though they're tough. I love it. And I think that, I mean, I could see where you're so successful and why you're so successful, just because you have all this experience, you have an amazing team, and you just having that also approachability about you to be able to have those candid conversations.
I appreciate that.
It's like an open door to, yes, even though we're going to have a difficult conversation, I still feel at least I can have it with you, right? And we can talk about things.
That's reinforcement. That's good. That's my next tough conversation. You're building up confidence for me.
Yes, there you go. Well, I really appreciate it, Kevin. So as we wrap up, can you share with us what is that one leadership golden takeaway that you want the audience to remember?
It's very simple. The every day you lead by example, whether it's a positive example or a negative example, leaders have to realize when you walk into the door, you're leading by example. So you want to make those examples as positive as possible for your team, so that they too can lead in a positive way. And it doesn't mean that every day is going to be, rose colored and beautiful. You have the tough conversations too, but you're setting an example, whether whether you know it or not, as a leader every moment, every minute of every day.
I agree. I agree. And so the best leadership trait is to lead by example, be aware
Lead
of
by
how your
example,
neighbors
bring your best
in your
self
best
to
self.
work every day.
And if it's not, then it's okay, but at least you communicate that, you let people know.
Exactly. I mean, open communication, good positive communication is a part of leading by example, right? So, there should be no surprises at work from a leadership perspective.
And people will go the mile with you, even if you're not having a good day. But at least they know who you are at the heart of who you are.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think that's, if I had to have one leadership takeaway, that would be it.
That would be it. Yeah. Because we've all had those leaders where it was just so, it's unpleasant to be around them.
I've lived through a leader like that, and short-lived. I ended up leaving after 3 months because this leader literally would come out of his office every day and find someone to berate,
That's
or humiliate in front of everyone. And that was sort of like his goal. And then he'd go back into his office, slam the door. And so after about 3 months, I decided I can't work like this, can't live like this.
That's good for
Yeah.
you. Good for you, right? That's a
Yeah.
leadership trait too, to know exactly when it is to just cut it off.
You just cut it off and move on.
Right. I mean, that does not, it's horrible to live in that era. Hopefully there's, yeah, he's learned or he's evolved from that place.
I heard he was fired about a year
Oh.
later. So.
Sometimes we gotta learn the hard way.
Exactly.
Oh my goodness. Well, thank you so much, Kevin. It was really fun. I learned a lot about risk management or just with understanding how to look out for different risk consultants and just the different people that are out there in general, right? Who are portraying themselves as one way, but really somebody else. And it behooves us to really take a moment to take a step back, really dig deep, get curious, maybe bring some other people to help us
Yeah.
decipher what to do. And if you're a financial institution and you're looking for some financial risk consulting, compliance consulting, I encourage you to reach out to Kevin D. Oden and Associates. We'll have his contact information down below in the comments below. And really appreciate you, Kevin, so much.
I appreciate the invite, and thank you, Melinda.
Thank you. And thank you, audience, for being here. I trust that you got your leadership golden takeaway for the day. I encourage you to implement it. And remember, anytime you have a conversation with somebody, you also have an opportunity to connect, to inspire, and to make a positive difference in your communities. Thank you again. Until next time, I'm your sister in flow. Bye-bye. That's a wrap on today's Speak and Flow podcast. I hope that you gained valuable insights to help you communicate with more clarity, connection, and confidence. Before you go, let me ask you this. Can your team communicate your founder story in a way that strengthens relationships and builds your company brand? If not, I've got a tool for you. Introducing, it's an AI founder story creator. This is a tool to help you craft a compelling story instantly that you can share with your team, and therefore your team can share with lots of people, building your brand. Grab this tool. In addition to creating immediately your founder story, you're also going to get one-on-one coaching with me so that we can continue to refine the story so that it's in alignment with your company messaging. Click on the link in the show notes, grab it today, and until next time, keep leading with confidence and courage.